Blog Talk Radio.
In this life, you will have trouble. You can't avoid it. You can't get around it. But you can live through it.
Tuning in to the next chapter of Widow's Ministry Talk Show. This is Mary Hollis, your host, and I am glad to see that you have tuned in tonight. This is week 5 of Preparing for the Storm, the holiday. I hope that you've had an okay week. Tonight we're going to talk about several different topics, and the topics I'm going to be talking very briefly about the topic. I'm not going to talk a lot about details on each one of them, but I'm going to be talking about a lot, giving you some information on how long does grief last. Talking is healing. Healing people, dealing with anger, coping with loneliness, and prayer. We'll end with talking about how prayer can be added and helpful in all of this. And any of you that signed on last week, and I was a little bit delayed last week, if you signed on and didn't sign back on, I did come on the air, but it was a little bit I was a little delayed in getting some things done, so I apologize for that. But tonight is another night, and I'm here on time and ready to go and give you information about preparing for the storm, the holiday. You've gone through one holiday, Thanksgiving, and just like God got you through Thanksgiving, He will get you through Christmas and New Year's and other holidays as well. I'd like to read this poem. No one knows the tears still inside me. People think it's all past. They think I am all better. Every once in a while, I think, I hope, I pray that things will be better too. But then I remember the pain floods back, and the bottom falls out, and I fall, and I fall. And I know once again that things aren't all better. My loved one is gone, and I cry alone. How much longer, God? How long does this last? Well, the first topic is, how long does grief last? well as long as it takes. This gentleman who lost his wife, he wrote that losing a loved one is like having your leg amputated. You don't get over an amputated leg. The wound may heal, but the leg will never grow back. You'll always have the absence in your life. In any sense, grief does end. Eventually, the intense pain subsides. Memories bring back more smiles than tears, and the future appears more hopeful. It will get there. You just have to have faith that it will. And how long does it take to get there? Most people will get there 2 to 3 years to do the grieving they need to do. Some take less time, some take more. There are no one-size-fits-all frame for grief. There's only your unique and personal time frame. That's the only one that really matters for you, your own time. Waves from a storm crashing on the shore. At first, the waves are very large, coming at you one after another. Each wave knocks you flat. Often you don't even have time to get back up on your feet after one wave before the next one knocks you down. Are you feeling me? Have you felt that way? But gradually the wave gets smaller and comes further apart. More often you are able to keep your balance and stay on your feet. And you are able to get back on your feet. Right now, the most important thing you can do is not let anyone, including yourself, pressure you to stop grieving. You can't stop the wave of grief from hitting you any more than you can stop storm waves from rolling on the shore. The wave needs to come and go until they gradually subside. Grief simply takes time. Yes, it does. It takes time. And you take one day at a time. It can't be rushed or hurried. All the time you need, and let the wave come. Talking is healing. Let me say that again. Talking is healing. So I'm going to talk about this particular person, about a man. We talk about a man because man grieves too. But most of the time, men do not like to let you know or see him grieve. Men are machos. They don't like to let you see them cry. But let me read this situation that happened with this gentleman. Well, he was raised a certain way. He was raised to always keep a stiff upper lip. The time when he was a child, he was taught by his dad not to cry, not to show his feelings. When his father died, he couldn't really grieve because he kept his feelings bottled up inside. He had been taught, but keeping his feelings hidden became harder and harder for him to do. So one day what he did, he went to his mom. And he told his mom that he could no longer keep a stiff upper lip. He needed to grieve because he kept all of this feelings in about his dad. And his mother was going through some things herself because she was told by her husband, you know, about crying. And the son always knew that when anything happened, he was not to cry. He was taught to be strong and not to cry. So after them talking, They both decided that they would share their feelings and they would cry and they would be human again, human together. They would share this together. And this was a great relief for both of them because of how the son was taught and also the husband had told his wife. A quote by this gentleman, grief is not handled well alone. God made us social beings, and when we lose a loved one, we desire and need to help and assist of each other. So they needed each other, and they needed to release their feelings, you know, by talking and also letting their tears and stuff flow, and they felt better. And if he never came to his mom, they would kept all of these feelings bottled up. So it's always important to let it out. Talking is healing. Talking helps you to locate your pain, bring it to the surface, and let it go. And because your wound doesn't suddenly go away, the pain reoccurs. And you need to talk about it again, again, and again. That's why grief people need to talk about the same feeling, a memory, over and over again. And one day, the feeling, the hurt, will feel better. Healing people. The key to talking through your grief is finding people who will let you talk and help you heal. And these healing people, it's HEAL stands for hear, empathetic, accepting, and listening. Healing people are. Let me give you what H stands for. Hey, hear. Hear. For you when you need them. When you are willing to be with you and make time for you. They know that their presence is one of the greatest gifts they can give. I always mentioned to you before about getting that safe person, and you want to find someone that who will listen, someone that is compassionate. Someone understands that what you're going through and don't be judgmental. So you want to get that person. It can be a family member, a friend, or anyone that you feel safe with, pressing and knowing that you can talk to them and get feedback, or just someone to listen. And E stands for empathetic. No one else can truly understand what you're feeling. But people with empathy will do their best to understand and let some of your pain touch them. Well, A stands for accepting. They don't judge you, try to change you, or tell you what you know or how you should feel. And yes, you don't want someone to be saying, oh, you should have gotten over this by now. You're still crying. All those kind of, no, you don't, that's not the right person for you to have to talk to release all of those feelings, is listening. They really focus on what you have to say. They let you share your feelings and know how important it is to tell your story again and again. And you share those stories over and over again, and you don't realize that you're doing it, but that safe person understands that this is how you're feeling right now and allowing you to go ahead and express yourself. So it's important for you to have someone, that healing person, to communicate with. More likely, there are people who also lost a loved one also in recent years. You may find healing people among those who saying, I'm sent meaningful cards or letters after your loved one died. support group are usually full of healing people. And also the next chapter, Widows Ministry, is filled with healing people. A lot of you have gone through it many years, and you can reach out and help the ones that just recently had lost a loved one. Some healing people will seek you out. Most of the time, you'll have to look for them. One man told me in this book, reading from this book, I read people's faces. I checked these eyes when we made eye contact. It looked at the body language. Listen to how they say, "How are you?" I was often able to tell which people really wanted to know I really was. Now, people don't always express how they feel. They don't know what to say until they come up with something. Healing people connect us to God's love in a powerful way. The place that we see Jesus face to face on earth today is in each other. When people are here for us, empathy, accepting and listening, God works through them to bring us the healing we need. We experience both the love and acceptance of other people, and Jesus loves and accepts them through them. Excuse me. The importance of having healing people around. The next topic we're going to talk about is dealing with anger. Not everyone experiences anger during grief, but many do in some ways at that point. Feeling angry, even at the point of rage, is quite common. After all, someone you love has been taken away. Who wouldn't be angry about that? Yes, I was angry when it happened. I lost Al. I couldn't understand why. I'm sure many of you know that I was only married for 6 years. I've known Al for a total of 9 years. 3 years we dated, and then we only married for 6 years. And we had when he passed away, I had two babies to raise. Yes, I was angry with God, not long. I was angry with him at the beginning because I could not understand why this would happen. We had just bought a new home just before, it was how long we're in a house. My daughter was five, so it was five. I was pregnant when we bought the house. So it wasn't long at all, and I just couldn't understand why, you know, this would happen now. Why would he take away Al at this time and leave me to take care of these babies? So, yes, I was angry, and I did ask him questions. I wasn't afraid to. I asked him questions, and later in time, he answered those questions for me. I also mentioned to him that how am I going to take care of this house and the kids? And in a couple of weeks, he gave me an answer. And every time I had a question for him, he didn't say it verbally to me, but he proved it to me that he would never leave me nor forsake me. So every time I had a situation, he always took care of the situation, took care of the problem I had, a question I had. He answered it every time. So I began to the journey that I was traveling, because every time that something I had a concern or a situation, he would always answer me or take care of the problem, take care of the bill, take care of how we were going to be living and all that stuff. So I began to trust in him that this was Al's time, and this is what, you know, I had to go through. Later on, I knew that, you know, that he gave me this job that I'm doing right now. I wouldn't say it's a job, but just being a servant for him, encouraging others and encouraging widows as well. So it took some time before I got to that. Just know that he will answer your questions if you have them. I know he answered them for me, but I was angry at the beginning. But I wasn't angry for a long period of time because I kept seeing where every time I had a concern, he would take care of it. So it's like, how can I be angry with God and he's doing all these things for me in spite of? Let's get back to the topic. Anger likes to ride, be burdened or covered up. So sometimes we are not even aware of it, but anger that stuffs away won't remain hidden forever. When it breaks out, catch you by surprise. Death itself or the illness that took to your loved one. That's one thing that you might be angry about. Those we might feel are responsible for the death. Many of us blame the hospital, the doctor, or whoever was there when our spouse, a loved one, passed away. We had issue with the hospital, how they handled things. Yes, we were angry because we felt that they were to blame for taking our loved one. Family members and friends, for what they may say or did, especially if we think that they let us, our loved one down, they weren't there for us, our family members or friends, we blame them for not doing certain things. So we get angry, not just with God, we get angry with people, family, we get angry with the hospital personnel, doctors. We get angry about a whole lot of different things. At the time, the one who died, a grieving wife said, "I was mad at my husband for leaving me." You know what I think? I was angry too. When I got to the hospital after my husband had a heart attack, I was angry with my husband because, you know, he wasn't the best. He wasn't the best, ate the best, or I would say a good eater. He ate a lot of stuff that wasn't healthy for him. He did, I mean, it wasn't everything, but a lot of things that he did eat. And I blamed that on him. I said, "I told you to stop eating so different things and so forth." So it would be where when I got to the hospital, I was angry with him. I said, "I told you to start eating better." But it had nothing to do with eating habits. He just had a massive heart attack, and it was hereditary. So it wasn't a problem. It wasn't his fault. But I was blaming him when I got to the hospital. So that, but when I realized later, when I got the autopsy back, realized that if he had a heart attack from family members, you know, it's hereditary. So it wasn't his fault, but I wanted to blame somebody during that particular time. I was angry, and I just couldn't understand what was happening. So anger comes in so many different forms. Anger at ourselves, anger at God. Anger is a tough emotion to deal with. But you can learn to deal with anger so that it doesn't tie you up in knots. Getting good and angry can be good for you and help you grieve. Get it all out. Recognize your anger. Accept your anger. And most of all, express your anger. I'm not going to go in detail about these different topics right here, because we only have not a whole lot more left. But I wanted to mention those things. Now, some other things, coping with loneliness. I'm sure this pandemic has not helped the situation of loneliness, not having him, her, whoever you have lost there with you. And I know it can be very lonely because you have to weather the storm by yourself. Loneliness of grief can be overwhelming. you face constant reminder of his or her absence. An empty bed, a vacant room, a piece of mail with your loved one's name on it, empty place on the at the table, even during Thanksgiving. He, she were not there. Feelings on the different holidays, of course. Naturally, loneliness is a part of the grief landscape. Our loved one is gone. We miss their company. We miss their conversation. We miss their presence. One woman who always complained when her son left her socks lying around in the house. But now she missed those socks after he passed. She would love to see him leaving those socks around on the floor. He's no longer there. During grief, we need to, we do need some time for solitude. We need time when we can rest, reflect on our loss, and gain some emotional energy. But we also need company of other people, because isolation can lead to despair. So even though that you're going through during this time of loneliness in this pandemic, don't isolate yourself. I know they're asking you to not to have other people being around other people other than the household. But talking to people, do things. You can still do things on virtual, talk to people on the telephone. You still be involved in your church and listening to the church service, Sunday school, or Bible study. Don't be isolated, because that's not good. You think more about the situation and being lonely. Accept an invitation for lunch. Maybe, you know, you can do one-on-one or have someone come over to your house that you know that has been not out there, pretty much safe to come around. So just know that it's important that you don't isolate yourself. And in Hebrews 13:5 says, that God will never leave you nor forsake you. So just knowing that God will help you through all of this. Even, you know, right now you're still here. You're still here. Even though that this pandemic is started in March and now it's December. I can't believe how the time has flown by. Just know that God will never leave you nor forsake you. He's gotten you through these months already, and He's not gonna forsake you. He's not gonna never leave you or forsake you. He's gonna help you walk through this journey. And even though you're walking it alone, He's right there by your side in His presence. And let me jump through. We have 2 minutes, really 60 seconds. I wanted to, just 1 second. I wanted to pray for someone. One of our widows wanted, Miss Richards, wanted her niece. She just heard that her niece has been diagnosed with the COVID-19. She is a nurse, and I'm gonna say a prayer for her that she will recover. And then also there's people on the line who has anniversary of their loved one today are getting. Now December is a popular month for but a month with a lot of our have losses. So we want to pray for them. Let me say it real quick, because the time is almost over. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for your goodness, and we thank you for your mercy. Heavenly Father, this has been a very difficult year, but you have brought us through this far. And we just thank you, Lord Jesus. And we just ask you, Lord Jesus, we ask you to go to the hospital where Ms. Richards' niece is. We know that you're a healer and you're a way maker. Many have gotten recovered from the COVID-19. I've had two nieces. And I've had a brother also, and they have recovered. And we know that you're a healer. We just have to believe and pray and knowing that you will be with her and help her through this, Lord Jesus. She's one of those front line workers who've been helping and trying to save others through this terrible virus, Lord Jesus. We just ask you, Lord Jesus, to protect all of us. Continue to keep your angels around us, Heavenly Father. Help us to do this pandemic. And we just know that you have your own time before when this is all over. And we know that you are going to get us all through this. And we just believe in you, Lord Jesus. We just ask you for your guidance and your protection. No weapon that is formed against us shall prosper. And we just plead the blood of Jesus on her knees that she will recover from this COVID-19. And we just thank you, Lord Jesus, to continue to be there with us, encourage us, and protect us through this journey, preparing for the storm, the holiday. In the mighty name of Jesus, amen, amen, amen. I will be in the last next week is the last week of the session, 6 weeks. So this is the last week, and we are going to be reading some stuff from this book, last book that I have. It's a total of 4 books, and I've been getting the information from. The book is written by Kenneth Hark, and it's the title of the book is Journeying Through Grief, and this has been very helpful in this preparing this grief session. And I want to give credit to him and this has been wonderful. Wonderful. These 4 books can be bought through the Stephen Ministry. And you can look it up online if you want to order. It's 4 books and it's very inexpensive. You can go online and purchase a book. Purchase these 4 books. It comes in 4. And I'll be reading from the last book. Next week, and this is the last day, this will be the last session. And on the week, Tuesday before Christmas, I will have a special guest dealing with grief. So I want you to continue to tune in to Tuesday night from 10 to 10:30 p.m. And just knowing that God loves us, He hasn't forgotten us, He's right there by our side because we have gotten through this. From March until now, we're still here, and He's not going to leave us. He's going to be right there by our side, and we just have to continue to trust in Him, believe in Him, and just knowing that He will never leave us nor forsake us, just like He said. And you have a nice week, and I'll tune in again next week, same time, from 10 to 10:30 p.m. Be blessed and have a great rest of the week.
There was a time I truly believed that I could do it on my own. But all that I found at the end of that road is that concept for me was all wrong. But I found a Savior who turned me around.